The American program is trying to get back on track, and we were talking about the Vanguard rocket, which explodes on the site. They, Wernher von Braun is able to get up his rocket, which he had kind of kept quietly in his vest pocket, waiting for just such an opportunity.
Well, that's exactly right. They were told not to launch a rocket into orbit in the summer of 57, and in fact, had been quite frustrated that they couldn't. There were some indications they were going to accidentally launch one that would, quote, get away from them and go into orbit, but they were good boys, and they didn't abuse their toys and were only experimenting suborbitally. And then even when Sputnik went up, it was the president's priority that Vanguard go first, and in part it was because the Redstone-based rockets, the Junos, were designed to be military, and Vanguard, the idea was scientific. And Eisenhower, even then, was very concerned that space be a peaceful realm and wanted to make that statement by using the right rocket, but our fellows just couldn't get one that would work.
No. And when Wernher von Braun got together with the 100 or so other former SS Nazi scientists that he helped, immigrate to the United States, when they got together, did they ever... Was there any discussion, or were you ever to discover whether or not they still had a connection to their Nazi past? Did they ever sing, Nazi songs as they drank? I mean, was there ever? I mean, how did they handle that?
You know, they did create a community of their own in Huntsville, which is where the Redstone complex was, Huntsville, Alabama. And there is a kind of hillside subdivision that people called Little Germany or Little Bavaria. And I don't know that anyone has ever revealed that they had beer drinking, parties.
Well, but I mean, I think they would be very conscientious about never going back to that time. But I would think that it would be kind of tempting with all of the direct Nazi connection that so many of them had.
And they were all old friends.
Right. But
I think that they very much were focused on the ambition of going into space. And one of the great ironies is that von Braun's key partner was the general named Bruce Medeiros, who he had almost killed. Von Braun had launched, one of his von Braun's rockets had come down in Belgium, and Medeiros was serving with the American forces a few hundred yards from where it landed.
Right.
And these two fellows then get back together, and they're actually cut from the same cloth. I had a wonderful experience going through Medeiros' archive, and he comes across as a very stern fellow. He was a horse soldier, if you can imagine that. This is a fellow who started in the horse cavalry, and he wound up launching rockets. Just imagine living through that period. And I turned to the archivist, and I said, well, he's such a severe fellow, I can just picture him with a swagger stick under his arm. And he said, well, we have his collection of swagger sticks upstairs.
How about that? How about that? Well, and I, there's that other story too about the guy who was sort of a, I don't know if he was a rival to von Braun, but he was a scientist who had visions for rocketry himself, who had attended one or two communist meetings when he was in college, and he ends up getting kicked out of the United States, in effect, doesn't he?
Yes, this was the group that had been working on American rockets during World War II and just afterwards out in California. And they were quite visionary. These were guys who were likely to light up a marijuana, though.
Right.
They were really kind of wild men, and they did have very strong interest in socialism and politics. And this fellow was banished. So it was, the irony is that we would allow a Nazi who tried to kill our people in but we would kick out this guy because he was a little pinko.
Yeah.
Or so people thought.
No, let's even go any further than that. We allow a Nazi in who tried to kill U.S. soldiers, who did kill 2,500 British civilians, and who was responsible for the deaths of several thousand, if not tens of thousands, of enslaved Holocaust victims who were, you know, being held in work camps and then forced to work in the caves on these rocket programs. And he gets to stay. He gets the front cover of Time magazine. He gets a rewrite on his story. And this guy who went to a couple of communist meetings, he's drummed out and sent to Europe.
That's exactly what happened. And, you know, the other thing that's kind of startling is to think about how von Braun became a folk hero in America thanks to Walt Disney.
Right. Oh, it's true. The whole Walt Disney connection of what he did with Walt on both for the movies and then also for a TV show. And then didn't he have a part to play in the design of Tomorrowland?
He definitely did. And what's amazing is von Braun's idea of what rockets should look like and of what space in the future would look like, including space stations. And they very much influenced everyone's thinking about what all this would look like and very much influenced the design of future space vehicles. And so when Walt Disney wanted to make movies for television about space, he went straight to von Braun and his team. And von Braun winds up being on camera. And he was a very good-looking guy. You know, he looked like a movie star.
Right.
And his English was pretty good. So he then goes from being this Nazi weapons maker to Walt Disney's narrator. This is what the 50s could be like, you know, and
I wonder whether it was like for von Braun when he would go home at night. I wonder whether he would just cross himself before he went to sleep and just say, I cannot believe I had another day of this incredibly unlikely, you know, career that I would never have anticipated when I volunteered to be a member of the SS because I admired Adolf Hitler so much.
Well, and, you know, I want to be as straight about this as possible. I don't know that anyone's ever gotten the truth about his real feelings about Hitler, or I really think that what he was a ambitious man who wanted money to pursue his own rocket dreams. He was fascinated by space, fascinated by this powerful new technology, and it really probably didn't matter to him who was in charge and how he would get there. He just wanted the work. He wanted to be able to do this.
Okay, I'll rephrase that. He didn't care whose butt he kissed, even Adolf Hitler's, in order to get what he wanted to play with.
He didn't care that it was slave labor.
Right.
And I think that is the real atrocious element here.
That says enough to me.
People could say they didn't know, but he knew.
He knew. And how many of the people within the government knew what he knew and also, you know, cooperated with Walt Disney to, you know, make the PR version of his life.